I will say, do covet your prayers. I've got some things going on physically. The Lord knows all about it. And some things I need to get took care of, and doctor visits and stuff. And I covet your prayers. Feeling pretty weak in body, but I feel real good in my heart. And can I say this? Eventually, we'll all feel bad in body. But I tell you what, I'm glad. I want to know why I feel good in my heart. Ain't no better thing to feel is knowing everything's right with you and God in your heart. And that's having that inside cleaned up. Boy, the James could have just kept right on preaching that. I could have said amen all day long. But we want to read this verse. If you got Proverbs 29, say amen. Amen. We invite you to stand with us if you're able. We just stand for the reading of the word. We want to give honor to the word, not to me. And if I preach about 2 or 3 hours, you'll need to stand anyway. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. So get all the standing you can get. You may want me to read a couple more verses than this one while we're standing. But we'll read this verse and have a little word of prayer, and then we'll go and then we'll get right into the message. Proverbs 29, verse number 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, we come to you one more time today, Lord Father, to say thank you, Lord Father, for your word. Thank you for the feel of my heart. Thank you, Lord Father, for everybody that's come. Lord, them smiling faces, even new faces. And Lord, we're glad that everybody's here. We want to richly extend the hand of grace and love, Lord Father, to each other. But Lord, we ask you for your hand today. Lord, we love the singing. We love the testifying. But Lord, we also love thy word. We need your word. Lord, we ask you to preach it through us, Lord. We ask you, Lord Father, to preach this as long as you want us to preach, short as you want us to preach. Help us to say everything that we ought to say and keep us from saying the things that we ought not to say. Lord Father, our heart needs to be right with you. And Lord, we ask you to move in inside it, Lord Father, and preach through us this acceptable message of this hour. May every single one of us have a heart to hear what you have to say. I find in your scriptures a lot where it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying." Lord, I believe the message still goes out as it always says in your scriptures. But Lord, let us have an ear to hear what you're saying. Lord, Father, may we adopt it into our life. I've often said this. I taught my kids this, Lord, here recently. Lord, studying the Bible and reading the Bible gets us to know more about you. But obedience unto your word, Lord, Father, brings us more into a closer relationship and fellowship with you. So may we be obedient to thy word, not just being a hearer. It's in Jesus' precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But don't forget also, it says, "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." In this day and time, it's not that we're keeping the law of God. It's impossible for us to keep the laws of God as it was in the Old Testament. Some would say 400 and something. Some would say 600 and something. I've heard some say to 800 and even in the thousands ranges of the numbers of laws that has been wrote down and put on top of the laws of the Levitical law that we find in the Old Testament in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But he's saying that basically in a nutshell, keeping the word of God, happy is he. Oftentimes we don't realize just exactly when we need to have a clear vision and a clear sight of things going on, because everything in this world, everything what the wicked one tries to do is to obstruct your vision of seeing what's right and focus it upon things that are wrong, making you think that it's right. Oftentimes we refer to in the beginning in the book of Genesis in chapter number 3, we find where Eve is looking at something and she's looking at something that she ought not to look at. Y'all know the scripture and know the message, but the devil is twisting the scriptures, twisting the word of God and saying that thou shalt not surely die. He took a little bit of it and he lied a whole lot. Somebody say amen right there. And oftentimes I don't think we struggle with the things that God wants us to do, Brother James. I think we struggle with the things that gets in our way. We try to justify the things and try to justify the deeds that we do. But the Bible says, "Well, there's no vision, the people perish." When there's not a clear vision, when there's no eyesight for what you need to be looking upon, the things that you're supposed to do, I'll tell you this, things, bad things happen. There's good eyesight and there's bad eyesight. I did not think much about it. I'm sitting back here in the office and I'm getting prepared and I'm praying and I'm looking at everything and I look down and I see that my britches are navy blue and my suit jacket's black. I guess evidently that my eyesight wasn't too clear this morning. Some of you ladies are looking at me nodding your head. You got to match them colors. I don't care who you are. Ain't that right? My mom would be mad at me right now looking all cattywampus, not matching my colors because my eyesight was not clear. I want to say this today. You've got to have a clear eyesight, a clear vision of what God has for your life. And it's not as much as what, how much is in the eyesight or what, how much you get to see, but the distinctful thing of knowing exactly what God has presented unto you. Is anybody listening to the preacher? Oftentimes we'll look at things and think, well, is it this way or is it that way? I got a phone call from somebody asking me what to do and how to do and how to do this. And can I say, we don't wrestle in what we're supposed to do. We don't wrestle trying to find out what we're supposed to do. We wrestle with what we are supposed to do. Oftentimes it's clear, it's cut. God says what we're supposed to do. You know the old saying that we like to say, God said it and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. We're to do what God have us to do. But the eyesight that we're supposed to have is what we're supposed to, is the thing that will lead us into the future. The vision is something that we don't have a physical grasp on in our eyesight per se, but it's something that we can see on down the road. If you'll have it, there's a vision that I have for my family and a vision I have for my wife. Hopefully you men who's got spouses and got children, your wives, I hope and pray you have a vision for your home. My vision for my home is that I get all my kids through school. Somebody say amen right there. And they're hoping and praying to get through school without dad killing them. They're probably going to say amen right there. But I want my wife and my kids to prosper in the things of the Lord. I want my wife and kids to shout the glories of God. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting as long as it's the glories of God that you're shouting for. I want them to sing and have a song in their heart. I want to have a vision of them having a song in their heart, Brother Josh. I want them to sing the praises of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I love hearing the Powell family sing. I love hearing them sing. And I'm not saying that the only time they sing, I know it's not just here in the pulpit. And I know I don't sing just here in the pulpit. But I want my wife and my kids to sing when they're in the car. I want them to sing while they're walking down the road. God help, it'd be good if they're singing at Walmart. Maybe somebody next aisle over might get a little something on their heart and touch them. But I want to have a vision for my family. I want them to grow closer to God. I want them to grow more powerful with God. I want them to have a clear testimony with God. Me and Sister Kim was talking before church, and somebody saw her going to church, saw her on a Sunday morning going to church. Somebody say amen. That's good for the neighbors to see you going to church. That's one of the best testimonies to have without opening up your mouth. And somebody see you going to church. Some people say, well, preacher, you know, the outside things, what Brother James said, is that the outside things is not what matters. But can I say this? The Bible says if you wash the inside of the cup and the platters, what Jesus says, is that right? He said the outside will come clean too. But if you try to clean the outside of the cup and the platter, the outside don't get in on the inside. But what's on the inside shows up on the outside. Somebody say amen right there. But I'll say this morning. You've got to have a vision for your family. You've got to have a vision for your own life. I want to have a testimony with God. I want to have a walk with God. I want power with God. Not that I may not pat myself on the back, whether my name gets recognized or lifted up in lights. Hey, it would not bother me one bit if the church got together and said, we're going to take Jason Faulkner off the sign. Hey, it's not about Jason Faulkner, but you need to be about him. Let him be highly exalted and lifted up. And folks, we got to have a vision for that in our life. But can I say, oftentimes, some folks may not understand, there's good sights and there's bad sights. How you look and what you look with, and how you're looking at things and the demeanor and what your eyes are focused with and what your eyes are centered around determines on what you're looking for and what you're trying to see. Y'all listen to the preacher? Forever in the day, I'm looking at these. I got an old Thompson Chain reference Bible, and the print's real small, and more and more, that Bible kept getting farther and farther and farther away from me. And I wasn't paying much attention until I went and got me a cheap pair of glasses, and I put them things on, and oh, how it opened up everything that I had not been seeing. And can I say this? Sometimes we're afraid to do it, and now I'll say this, that the altars of a church is not just for the sinner. And I will even go as far as say this, Brother Eddie, the altar wasn't for the sinner in the Bible. It was for the people of God. And can I say this? These altars is a good place for the child of God to come and get that eye checkup, that eye examination, the cure for the problems of the blurriness of vision. Can I say this? Oftentimes the blurriness of vision sets in. There's a time when the vision will start to fade away. There'll be a time when the vision is not as good as it once was. And friends, you need to go to have yourself an eye exam. And I'll say today that most of the time when we come to church and most of the time we're out in this present world, I would say the vision and the sight of America, the eyesight of our country is now almost completely blind compared to what it used for. When I say America, I'm talking about the homes of America. I'm talking about the government of America. I'm talking about even the churches of America. Even now, the vision that churches once had, when it was a mission to go out and win people unto Christ, when it was to go out and exercise the preaching of the gospel. May I remind everybody, Jesus told the disciples in the Gospel of Luke, after he got done opening up the eyes of them that was on the road of Emmaus, their eyes were open, Brother Eddie, and they saw who they was speaking to. Somebody say amen right there. He told them, he said, go out into all the world and preach remission and repentance of sins in my name. He didn't say stay home or stay in the pew and preach. He said, but get out into all the highways and the hedges, into all the world, and preach remission and repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you have not a clear vision that the lost person needs to hear about Jesus and the lost person needs to see Jesus in you, friend, your eyesight's all fuzzy and blurry. And can I say this? There's two types of sights, two types of visions in the church. I even dare to say there's even that kind of vision in Mount Zion Baptist Church. When it comes to the individual, how do you see the lost person? How do you see them? How do you see this world? There's a controversy that goes back and forth, and some people, even Caleb had told me about in his psychological class or psycho class, whatever you call it, forgive me, I just don't know what it's called, but he's taken in college. They want to know if people's inherently good or inherently bad. We actually came across that not too long ago on a Wednesday night Bible study on the depravity of man. But I'll say this, if your eyesight looks out and sees there's no problem with the rest of this world, friends, you're not looking through the eyes of the Savior. For the Lord had eyes of compassion. He looked out and saw them that was without. And when he saw him, Brother Don, he didn't sit back and look and nudge one of the disciples and said, you see them people out there who's been walking us for 3 days? You know they need something to eat. He says, I wonder who's going to feed them. He said, you know what we ought to do? He didn't get down and say, let's pray about it. Maybe God will do something for them. You know what Jesus did? Jesus looked upon them, had eyes of compassion. He says, cause them all to sit down in the green grass. He says, what do you have to eat? They said, we ain't got much. Well, much is little when it comes to God. Somebody say amen right there. Can I say, a lot of times people look out and see this lost and dying world, and they'll see their sin. They'll see the position, the condition of the person's life, but they don't see them clear enough. They need to go out and do something for them. May I say this? I find in the scriptures there's two types of visions. And I want to get, there's a good vision, there's a bad vision. In Genesis, y'all don't follow. I'm going to go as fast as I can to get the crux of the message. I don't know if I'll get all the message. There's a whole lot here. But if God says there's going to be a part two, I say amen. But if God preaches me for the next 2 or 3 hours, you probably won't say amen. But it'll still be good. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as in the garden of and in the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. When Lot and Abraham had a dispute amongst their herdsmen, they were fighting over a cow, if you'll have it. The Bible says they was to separate themselves. And what does Lot do? Lot lifts up his eyes and he looks for something that looks appealing. He looks for something that seems right to his own way of thinking. He looks and says, hey, well, now look, that's good pasture land out there for my cattle. That's good pasture land for what I want to do. That's good pasture land to increase me and increase my goods. The problem is that Lot never did ask God where he should be going. Lot never asked God where it's way in the direction that he should go. But Lot looked out through a natural vision. And can I say this? Oftentimes we'll look to the things that seem like they're good. I oftentimes, people tell me, they say, you ought not to be buying them old used cars. You ought not to buy some of them things, them old clunker cars. You'd have better luck buying you a brand new car. And can I say this? Every car that I've gotten since I've been saved, I've been asking God to give me the car. Y'all listen to the preacher? Y'all may think it's funny. I pray for my cars. I pray for everything. I pray for the lawnmower. Pray for the wheelbarrow wheels. I went to get some wheels for the wagon. I didn't pray about it, Brother Josh. It didn't fit. And that's what happened when you don't pray about them wagons. Y'all may think I'm crazy. But you know how good God is? They didn't fit the wagon, but they did fit the wheelbarrow. Somebody say amen right there. So now them kids got something to push in the wheelbarrow now because they got a good tire. But I'll say this. Oftentimes we'll look at the things that's carnal. We'll look at the things that looks good. Can I say this? Oftentimes we'll see the things that's appealing and thinking that's the right way to go. May I remind everybody when Naaman was covered up in leprosy and he needed to have a cure for his leprosy, and the little girl, the little maiden that was in his home said, there's a man over in Israel who can take care of your leprosy problem. I say amen, there's still a man who can take care of our problems. And he went looking out and he thought for sure that man of God would show up and strike his hand over the place where he had his problem, and all the lights of heaven would show up and lightnings and thunders and all those great things, because it has to be great. It has to be a show to be put on. It has to be like a rock concert. Is that y'all listen to the preacher? It's gonna be like a rock concert for God to do anything. But no, the man of God sent out his servant. Didn't send out his servant and said, just go wash in Jordan 7 times and thou shalt be clean. Now old Naaman stood back and said, now wait a minute, now Abnon Pharpar, there are a whole lot better looking rivers than Jordan is. He said, Abnon Pharpar are far better rivers than Jordan. If you don't know nothing, but Pharpar and Abnon are rivers of Damascus. They're real calm, they're real cool, and they're real clean looking. And you thought for sure, for an old nasty leopard filled man, that he would go to the cleanest of rivers, thinking that the rivers was going to get him clean. Is anybody hearing the preacher? We got a whole bunch of Baptist people, Church of Christ people, all kinds of people. I don't care where you go to church at, and you think the water is what's going to get you into heaven. Friend, it's not the water baptism that got Naaman all cleaned up. It was obedience unto the Word of God. Woo! When you mind the Word of God and mind the man of God, God will do things in your life. But Naaman said, aren't Abnon far, far better than Jordan? Jordan was crooked. Jordan was swift. Jordan would flood its banks and Jordan get all muddy. But the one thing about Jordan I like better than Abnon far, Far, God was always showing up at Jordan. I never heard of him showing up at Abnon Pharpar. Now, I'm not knocking the fancy churches. I'm not knocking the nice churches. But I want to go to that church where God shows up and does some cleaning. Hey, bless his holy and righteous name. I'm telling you, we need to have the right vision for what God wants us to have and see things clearly. Lot lifted up his eyes towards Sodom. And when it was before he destroyed Sodom, he looked out and saw that it looked good. So he pitched his tent towards Sodom. After you start looking towards Sodom, you'll pitch your tent towards Sodom, you'll move into Sodom. Y'all listen to the preacher? Everybody wants to badmouth Sodom and Gomorrah, talking about the queers and the homosexuals and badmouth all of them, all the rotten things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know what the Bible says that God likened Israel like? In Ezekiel, he says you're like your sister Sodom, like your sister Sodom. Everybody wants to badmouth all those people. Do you know who? You know them people who need to have a hand stretched out to them in love? Them same very people that we call and so nasty. Y'all listen to the preacher? He says, you're like your sister Sodom. He said, this is the sins of your sister Sodom. He didn't mention all the homosexuality. He didn't mention all the debauchery that was going on. He says, you got idleness of time, got too much time on your hand, got the excess of bread, and you won't strengthen the hand of the poor. Y'all listen to the preacher? Sounds a whole lot like the United States of America to me. Y'all can get mad at me all you want. I'm red, white, and blue. I'll wave the flag. I don't care what's going on. But I'm telling you this, America has lost her eyesight on the things of God. When you lose your eyesight and get a wrong vision of God and the wrong vision of where God wants you to go, you'll wind up doing the things you never thought you'd do. Lot found himself on the outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, sitting at the gate, vexed, 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 his righteous soul vexed with the sins of Sodom. He was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. His heart and everything was right with God. But his eyesight, he wouldn't ask God to help him and guide him. What did he do? He lifted up his eyes towards Sodom. But here's the good vision in verse 14 and 15 of Genesis 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Abraham sought the Lord. The Lord spoke back to Abraham. When you seek God, God will seek you. You commune with God, God will commune with you. Y'all listen to the preacher? I mean, it's good, friend, it's good, saying to God, to have some time alone with God. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Lot couldn't wait. Lot was a fornicator, if you have it. He couldn't wait to get what God wanted him to have. But Abraham was patient, and Abraham waited. And I believe y'all may think I'm crazy, but I think when Lot was looking around, I think Abraham had his head bowed and praying unto God. And when God spoke to Abraham, he said, look all around you, Abraham, and I'm going to give you all of this. It pays to have the right vision with God. One more example of wrong and right vision. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb said unto the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This is the story of the 12 spies that Moses had sent out to go spy out the land of Canaan. And this is what they said in Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Or this is what they said. The people told them in Numbers chapter 13, they said, we can't do these things. We can't do these things. Joshua said to the son of Nun, to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which was with them, and searched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company, the children of Israel, the land which passed through, and searched an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it us, the land which flow with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is separated from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's Caleb's account, and that's Joshua's account of the land of Canaan. Caleb said, we be well able. Let's go take her, boys. Joshua said, hey, there is some big old people over there, but they're bread for us. He says, we're able. They remembered the word of God. They remembered the promises of God. Moses told him, we're heading to a land that flows with milk and honey. We're going to a place where it's a whole lot better than it is here. We're just traveling through the wilderness. There was 12 of them, y'all remember? Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, it gives their names, but the other 10, it don't give their names. But can I say this? All 12, Brother Kenny, saw the same thing. Y'all with the preacher? The all 12 got to see them big old grapes, big old cluster of grapes. The all 12 got to see those grapes, touch those grapes, taste those grapes. Y'all with the preacher? The all 12 got to see the walls. The all 12 got to see the people, the children of Anak. All 12 saw the land that flowed with milk and honey. The all 12 saw the same thing. They all saw the same thing. Y'all listen to the preacher? But when they come back, 10 of them didn't have the right eyesight, and 2 of them did. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Because 2 of them was trusting in the man of God and the word of God, while the other 10 was trusting what they saw with their own flesh. 2 of them saw victory. 10 of them saw defeat. 2 of them saw happiness, and 10 of them saw sadness and sorrow. The 10 said, those people be giants, and we'll be as grasshoppers, and our children be as grasshoppers before them. There's no way we should go over. We need to stay right here and go no further. But friend, mark her down in your Bible, mark her down in your heart. The day that you see the things that God wants to do in your life, and you're afraid and won't move to what God wants you to do, mark them down, friend. You'll never get to that place that flows with milk and honey. You'll march around that same mountain year after year after year after year. And can I say this? My goal and my vision is not to get to the top of Mount Pisgah and look over into the promised land, look over into the glory land, look over into the land that flows with milk and honey. Brother James, my vision is to get to Jordan, cross over Jordan wide, and get to that place where God wants me to be. I'm not talking about glory. I'm talking about a victorious life right now in this world. The Bible says a thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Preacher, what are you trying to do? Pump us up? If I got to prime your pump to get some water out of you, then so be it. But friend, you got to have the right vision of God and follow God when you get it. Many times people say, preacher, I just don't know if that's right. You really think we should do that, preacher? God said we should. You really believe that? You know, today's day and time, people don't look at God and follow God like they say they do. Y'all listen to me? Everybody's become them diehard, super, y'all don't freak out now. They'll just become big, solid, big, huge predestinators. That's what they've become. Super souped up predestinators, Sister Stella. Well, what's going to happen is going to happen. We're just here long for the ride. Y'all listen to the preacher? I don't think it's that way. You're going to have to get up and do something about it when you get that vision. Does anybody want to do anything with the Lord? Them spies had to do something. Two of them wanted to get into the battle and get into the fight. The other 10 didn't. You know what it cost that whole generation of Israelites? It cost them their life. Everybody from 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness. What they did, they took themselves a vote, and 10 outnumbered the two. And they think because you take a vote and the vote wins, they think the vote's right. Friend, the vote ain't never right. There's only one that's right, and that's the Lord. When he says, then he says. Too many times we see things the way we want to see them, and sometimes we'll see the way the things the Lord wants us to see them, and too many times we go the way that we think they ought to be. Can I say this? We got to have that right vision and that of the Lord. Because when your eyesight is not focused upon the Lord, what happens is you start to go dim. You start not seeing things. Everything becomes blurry. You'll start allowing things in life. You'll start allowing things in your home. You'll start allowing things in your church. Y'all listen to the preacher? 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. I want to stop right there and say something. Young people, the child Samuel. Didn't say the adult Samuel, the grandpa Samuel. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Y'all listening to me? Young people, just as important as old people. Somebody say amen right there. Said he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word of God was precious in those days because there was no open vision. Do you know where the vision was supposed to come through in those days, Brother Eddie? It was supposed to come through Eli. The high priest was the one who got the vision. Brother Roger, that's the way it was. That's the way it is today. I'm not building up myself a pulpit. Don't y'all look at me like I am. I'm not beating my chest. I just feel pretty good right now, Brother Eddie. I was feeling pretty bad before church. I feel pretty good right now. But that vision still comes through the pastor. Here's the key. Says this, then second verse, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, and the Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Eli's vision began to go dim. You know what Eli was doing behind closed doors? He was allowing his sons to commit all kinds of rude and lewd acts. Sin was in Eli's house, and Eli wouldn't deal with it. Eli wouldn't deal with sin. Now, everybody, I get a reputation, Brother Eddie, being too hard on people's sin. I don't speak on sin generally. I'll speak on it specifically. It's your sin. I don't know who you are. I didn't look and spy you out on social media. I'm just giving you what God's given me. But friend, if you're doing sin, the Lord told Moses and them children of Israel back in Numbers 32, he said, be sure your sins will find you out. And Eli's sins found him out. I didn't think I was like, man, it feels like I've been up here for like 4 hours. It's only been like 30 minutes. And some of you feels like it's been like 4 days and you're wishing I'd shut up. But I got a whole lot more to go. Eli allowed sin in his home. And since he would turn his eye to the sin, Brother Eddie, the darkness started to creep in his eyesight. And I'll say this, I don't care if you're a pastor of a church. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're just a lay member. When you start allowing sin in your life, allowing sin in your home, mark her down. Your eyesight will start getting dim. And here's a good example. Well, they're just good old boys. They never meaned no harm. Beat all you ever saw. Been in trouble with the law. Who was it? Who was that? Who knew that song? Well, Stella's waving her hands. She's like, I don't care. I watch Dukes of Hazzard. But can I say this? It's true, Brother Miller. What happens is, Sister Lois, they allow it in the home, but it never stays in the home. It shows up in school. It'll show up in the marriage. It shows up in the church. It shows up in everyday life. And here's the problem. The lamp went out in the house of God. If there's no light in the house of God, there's somebody else who's got some spiritual eyes. Whether you'll like to believe it or not, lost people's got some spiritual eyes. And when they see there's no light burning in the house of God, that light being Jesus Christ, if there's no Jesus, they ain't going to want to come to that church. Y'all ever heard this? You ever heard this story? Man, them bunch of hypocrites. If they're going to heaven, they ain't got no problem. They walk right on by. Right? Eli, the man of God. But I'm going to give it to you in this, and how does it apply for 2018? I get so sick and tired of them dispensationalist people saying you can't preach that stuff because it didn't apply for us. Hey, though the Lord, that was not wrote to us or written to us, it was written for us. And 28, I want something that's 28, 29, I said 2018. I want something that's 2019. Don't you all? I want something that applies to my life right now. Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, old person, young person. You start allowing sin in your life, your vision will get affected. And the rest of that world sees if there's a light burning or not. We always want the little kids to sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." I think it ought to be a song sung at the, instead of having the national anthem, having them jack legs kneel for it, sing "This Little Light of Mine" before every football game. Somebody say amen. Hopefully the convicting power of God will get on some people. I'm about to go on a rant on alcohol, marijuana. I got to change my way of thinking all of a sudden. Y'all pray for me. Eli's vision got wrong. The man of God's vision got wrong. Thank God, when it comes to God's men, he knows what to do. What did he do? He got rid of Eli. So when you think that maybe I'm trying to build myself something by saying that the vision comes through the pastor, but if the pastor's vision gets wrong, Brother Junior, the Lord gets rid of the pastor, and he brings him up another one. Can I say the importance of a clear vision? And this is where we're at in 2019. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, he done spent his time, the first part of, from around noon on, he spent his time with an adulterous woman at the well of Jacob in Samaria. She had five, y'all know the story. She had five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her own. But aren't you glad Jesus didn't judge according to what she was doing? He said, "You just need a good cold drink of water." Logan come up and he says, "Preacher, you need you a bottle of water for preaching?" I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." He come got me a good cool of water. That's good. Was it, they drink the whole thing and so they can preach about another 2 hours or so? Jesus got done dealing with that woman. She left her water pot. She went back into town. Said, "Come see a man that told me all I've ever did." She's bragging, testifying about Jesus. Now, those people saw her in a way before because she was an adulterous woman. But now there was something different about her that they saw because she had got an encounter with Jesus Christ. He changed her life. Them disciples come back. Now, listen to this. Listen to the contrast. Jesus saw and said there must need to come through Samaria because there was going to be somebody there. I believe that's the reason why he went through Samaria. You can believe what you want, but I believe he went through Samaria just for that woman. He knew how awful she was, how sinful she was. Even if she had never done no things like that, I believe he still said, "I'd still need to go through Samaria because there's going to be a woman at the well." But notice when the disciples come back, the paradoxy of this story, how things flip. They came to Jesus and they saw that Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman right off the bat. Man, she's dirty. There was no dealings between the Jews and the Samaritan. She a dirty person. She a sinner person. And they come to him and they said, they come up to him and ask him, said about going and getting him meat and things like that, and asked him if he was hungry. He said, "The meat that I eat you know not of." He's talking to them disciples. They didn't understand what was going on. And this was said in verse number 35. Notice the difference of the story. He said, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. But behold, I said unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are whitened and all ready to harvest." Can I say this? Not only the first, when you start allowing sin in your life, the light will go out in your heart. There'll be no witness for you. There'll be no desire for people to get what you want. You won't be one of them salty Christians. Your vision will start getting impaired. And here's the second thing. You'll have no sight for them lost people. I'm going to give this example and I'll close. I ain't going to get through all the things I wanted to preach on. Maybe the Lord will preach them tonight. Maybe some other week. I don't know. But there was a man born blind. The difference of having a vision for people who's lost and having a vision for your life and being a light. John chapter number 9, there's a man born lost. Y'all know the story, right? Come unto him, and Jesus passed by. There's his disciples, there's this man, he's blind. He was blind from his mother's womb. What's the first question to get asked? Who did sin, his mom or his dad? You know, that's where we've reached in Christendom now. There's two types. As I said, there's two types of churches. One's got a clear vision. One's got a doesn't have a clear vision. But here's what a lot of people have. They're either saying that everybody's good and everybody's all right, and there's no reason for sin, or we got that side of the churches that just want to pound you over your sin over and over and over and over, and ain't got no grace and love. Here's what I say. Be a church under the name of Jesus Christ, the banner of Christ, and the Lord will work through you. Can I say this? It's already, I'm not saying I'm getting soft on sin. I still preach against alcohol. I still preach against drugs. Not only preach against them, but I stand against them. I'm against adultery. I'm against fornication. I'm against inordinate affection. That's any kind of a relationship outside the bonds of marriage. Somebody say amen. And marriage is still between a man and a woman.
Amen.
I still preach against backbiting, bad mouth, and phone ministries, running people down, saying bad things about people, stabbing them in the back, showing no love. I'm against all those things. The little smirks and perks and comments that folks, them Facebook warriors and social media warriors who wants to badmouth people behind their back and not put a name to it because they ain't got the guts to call them on the phone or meet them in the face. I still preach against those sins. But here's the problem that we have now. Everybody knows everything's sin. Now everybody says, yep, I just accept the fact I'm a sinner now. You can go to the bar. Are you a sinner? Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. And they'll look right back at me and say, ain't you one? You perfect preacher? I'll be the first one to have to raise my hand and say, I'm not perfect. And those men are asking, who did sin, Jesus? This man's mom or dad. Who sinned? They did or he did? They're more concerned about the sin. And I like what Jesus said. Neither. That just dumbfounded a whole lot of doctrine, didn't it? Woo! It doesn't matter who sinned. What matters is the work of God's got to show up in his life. What matters is lost people need to know who Jesus is. Can I say deep down in the deep recesses of a person's heart, and I can only testify for myself, when I was lost and undone, I didn't need no preacher to pound my head to let me know how bad I was. When I woke up every morning feeling God nasty, not knowing what I did the night before, I had a conscience inside of me, Brother James, that let me know I was living wrong and doing wrong. But I needed somebody to stick out a hand of mercy and tell me that God still loved me. I need somebody to tell me that Jesus died upon the cross for my sin. Oh, it bothered me when people told me I was a sinner. It bothered me when the preacher told me that my sins were going to take me to hell. I'm so glad he didn't leave me there. He told me I could go to the cross and get forgiveness. So not only now is there a recognition of what's going on, we done got past the point of people being sinners. Can I say this? I'm not saying the gospel's changed. It ain't changed. But you know what? We want to lasso people, hogtie people, and brand them a sinner. Can I say this? Their life tells on them. Your life tells on you. I thought about this. A good friend, a preacher down in Scott Thomas out of Georgia, he said, oh, I want to give something to all you preacher friends. He said, when you get done with a page of your notes, you wad it up and throw it at the person who's asleep in the church house. I thought about doing it, but only had two pieces of paper. Some of you will catch that when you get home. I'm not talking about physical asleep. I'm talking about spiritually asleep. It's high time we wake up out of our sleep. Jesus took those disciples, if you'll have it, and he shook them and woke them up. He said, it doesn't matter who sinned. What matters is that the work of God's got to be manifested in their life. Here comes the labor, sis. You got down on the ground and spit and made clay. I don't know about anybody else, but God reached down in that clay back all those years ago. Created man out of the dust of the earth. He ain't changed not one bit, Brother James. Y'all think I'm crazy. I think he made him a set of new pair of eyeballs. Took that spit, took that clay, and rubbed it on his eyes. Says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't know how he got there. Some people say the Holy Ghost led him. Some people say one of the disciples led him. Some say Jesus led him. Some say he felt his way through. I don't know. I don't care. I just know he got there, Brother Jeff. Because after he washed, he could see. He could see. Jesus said, now go to church and tell the preacher and tell the congregation that you see now. What would religion do? They could care less that the man had been, it was blind and now see. What they cared about is how'd that happen? How'd that happen? Christ and his disciples had a clear vision. Now the man that was blind had a clear vision. Religion don't get you a vision. Coming to church is good, but it won't give you the vision. Singing the songs is good, but it don't get you the vision. hearing the Word of God preached. Brother Eddie, I'll stand to my dying day. Got to get some preaching done. And I want to say this, there's more preaching needs to be done out there than in here. There's got to be more preaching out there than in here. But when people follow the Word of God in obedience, it'll open up your eyes.